Actually, I got to looking. Previous years, I've actually cut this gospel in half. Either done the half that is the woman at the well, or the half that is the food from heaven. To be fair, though, it's really one dialogue. Jesus begins with the woman at the well, ends, really, in all honesty, with the woman at the well, with just a little diversion towards the disciples in the middle. It is an important story. It's important to hear, important to understand. Hearing and understanding are difficult things. I say this as a person who has an unusual problem. The house that I own, it's a quad level. I don't know if any of you all have a quad level house. What that means basically is I can't go anywhere without steps. Either I'm going upstairs or downstairs or down downstairs or down downstairs or up upstairs. There's just absolutely no way to avoid it. And you know, it's little things that you don't think of when you're looking at a house to purchase. You don't say to yourself, well, if I'm living on the top level and the laundry facilities are on the lowest level, that means I'm going to have to carry laundry from my bedroom to the laundry room down three flights of steps, and then I'm going to have to reverse that process every time I want to carry laundry upstairs. We've been looking at houses with my oldest daughter, and we've come across a couple that have laundry chutes. And I'm like, why don't I have this? And the answer is because it's a quad level. It's just strangely shaped. But other than the trouble with laundry, it does have one other issue. And that is something or other about the way the house is sort of cut up and arranged and stacked on each other in weird ways. I swear to goodness, it's impossible to hear someone who's on a different level of the house. And you know, it never ceases to amaze me that as soon as I go up or down a floor, somebody in my family will want me to... And then I have to think to myself, well, I'm either going to have to get them to yell louder, or I'm going to have to go back up the steps to find out what meant. Communication's important. And I'm going to level with you all about something. Sometimes we just text each other. Sometimes it's just easier when you're in the basement and you're down on the lowest level with the laundry and somebody's in the bedroom. You're just like, is there any dirty laundry up in the bedroom right now? Because your only other option is to go, which they're not going to understand what you mean, or to walk up three flights of steps. And I'm going to say, sometimes we just text. Because understanding and being understood is not always an easy thing. And it's interesting in Jesus' lessons, frequently in the Gospel of John, people aren't great at understanding. The disciples frequently don't understand. And you know, the Gospel of John, having been written by John, a disciple, you would think that he would cast them in a fairly favorable light. He does not. Frequently, the disciples are there sort of to be the voice for the rest of our confusion. That they don't understand any better what Jesus is talking about than we do. And so their job in the gospel lesson that John is writing is to ask the questions that are needed to be asked. I had a professor in seminary who once said, in the Gospel of John in particular, you should probably remember that the disciples are a little bit more the disciples because they never get what's going on. And their job is to be there to ask the question so that we get the answer. And this is always true when Jesus is explaining the kingdom of God. And there's two important dialogues. Now, you may have remembered the one, we just did it. Jesus only has a few one-on-one conversations. The last one-on-one conversation that Jesus had was with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a respected member of the Sanhedrin. He is a part of the ruling council of the religious people of Jerusalem. He is a respected teacher, he is a respected figure in the community, and he comes to Jesus at the very unusual hour of the middle of the night when everybody respectable has gone to bed and there's not going to be anyone around, so he can just have Jesus to himself. Whether he did this in order to get a private conversation or in order for no one to know he was there is unclear. But we know that he has a conversation with Jesus in which Jesus says, no one can enter the heaven, into the kingdom of heaven unless they've been born again. And Nicodemus basically says, my mother will not appreciate this plan. I've already been in the womb once. We're not going to do it again. To which I have to imagine on some level Jesus' response was a bit, clearly that's not what I actually meant. But if we go now to the story of the woman at the well, in many ways we have the exact opposite person. First of all, she is a woman who is alone at the well whom Jesus is having a conversation with. This by itself is a controversial thing to do. So much so that when Jesus' disciples come upon him having the conversation with the woman, the two of them alone, they're a little shocked and surprised. Who is this woman that Jesus is talking to? Why is Jesus talking with a stranger woman, someone he does not know, in public, alone? Very scandalous. But she is also not a respected member of the community of the Sanhedrin. In fact, she's a Samaritan. As a Samaritan, she's not a part of the worshiping community of Israel at all. She is an outsider, and she expresses the fact that there's conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. You say we should worship on this mountain. We say we should worship on that mountain. Who's right? Jesus also points out the fact that she is not the sort of person who is going to be asked to be the leader of any special church committees. Because he says, where's your husband? And she says, I don't have one. He says, actually, you've had several. And the one that you have right now is not yours. There's a lot of implications that you could read into that. I'm not sure how far you want to go. The implication could very well be that the person that she is with is not her husband. Could also be that the person that she's with is somebody else's husband. We don't know. But it does imply something that she's at the well at noon. This is not an appropriate time to be out in the sun, in the desert, in Israel, or Samaria as the case may be. She is there when the rest of the community would be in their homes, out of the sun. So she and Jesus have this conversation one-on-one. And Jesus says, I can give you living water, which if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. And she's like, that's great. I hate coming to the well. To which I'm sure Jesus also has a reaction. Because now he has had two one-on-one conversations with two individuals from opposite sides of the social spectrum. And he has tried to convey to them an understanding of the kingdom of God using metaphor. And they have both completely and utterly missed the message. There's some things to be understood here. The first is that God is not going to delineate good people versus bad people when it comes to who gets the message. He is not going to pick and choose from the people of this world, whether the message goes to the acceptable or the unacceptable. He has made it very clear that he is just as willing to talk about the kingdom of God and to welcome others into that kingdom, whether they are a ruling member of the religious elite or whether they are a social outcast from a group of people he's not even supposed to talk to, the Samaritans. He is not going to make a difference. It is important for us to remember, as the sons and daughters of God who are going out into the world and proclaiming the message, that there is no one in this world that Jesus would not take the grace of God to. And the other piece to this that's important is that God's grace is not contingent upon our understanding of it. Because Nicodemus did not understand what God was offering. The woman at the well did not understand what God was offering. In fact, they both grossly misinterpreted what Jesus was saying and had to be redirected repeatedly. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience with God is frequently that I don't get what he's saying the first time around. In fact, more often than not, I have a tendency to greatly misinterpret the first time God explains anything to me. And I think there might be the assumption that an individual who has a master's degree in divinity and a doctorate in ministry might come to the scripture, open it up, and go, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, okay, I knew that too. But I'm going to tell you what. I open the scripture just like every other person on the planet, open it and go, oh, never thought about it that way. I look at what it is that God is doing in my midst, and sometimes I go, oh, I didn't think God would do that. How amazing that God managed that. Wow, look at what God is doing today. I find myself perpetually amazed by how God unfolds his ministry in my midst. And I don't always understand what he is doing next. Frequently, when God does something in my life, I misinterpret it. And I need God to be present in my life to continue to drag me to the truth. Because I don't always get it the first time. And I don't know anyone who does. In your life, in my life, in all of our lives, God is alive. He is moving. He is active. He is preaching and teaching through the things that we see and hear and experience, through the scriptures, through the sacraments, through other brothers and sisters in Christ, and sometimes through just the weirdest, craziest ways conceivable. We will oftentimes not get the first time when God tells us something. In both the story of the woman at the well and the story of Nicodemus, when Jesus says to them, the kingdom of God is like this, and they both completely misinterpret what Jesus is saying, he could have went, well, I tried. Oh, well, next. But he doesn't. He just keeps pushing forward. And the same is true for you and me. God doesn't give up on us. God does not do something in our midst to reveal himself to us. And when we're like, I don't know what that's all about, God doesn't go, well, I tried. He keeps trying. He keeps revealing. He keeps opening up his truth to us. There will never be a time in any of our lives when we fully and completely understand God. But we will always be drugged sometimes by our hair, by the Holy Spirit, kicking and screaming to new understanding. And yes, sometimes God gently leads us. But you know what? Every image you've ever seen of a shepherd walking around with his sheep, and he's got a lamb draped over his shoulders, and you think, what a beautiful image. Do you know why that lamb is draped over his shoulders? Because that darn lamb wouldn't stay where it was supposed to be. And he had to pick it up and throw it on his shoulders and say, you're coming with me. Every so often, we're the flock. And then every so often, we're the lamb on the shoulders. And that's okay. Because God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't choose some people to pour his grace out and other people to ignore. When we don't get what it is that he's teaching us, he doesn't walk away and say, well, they're just not going to get it. He continues to teach us, to guide us, and to send his Holy Spirit into our hearts. So maybe you're struggling with something in your life right now, and you're saying, I don't know what God wants me to do about this, or I don't know what God wants me to do about that, or I don't fully understand what God is calling me to do this next thing is. Guess what? You're in great company. You can count yourself among people like Nicodemus, the woman at the well, myself, Moses, Elijah. Actually, you can count yourselves among every other person in the Bible or who has ever existed. We don't always know what God is doing in our lives. God does. It is our role to trust, to listen, to respond as best we're able. The woman at the well doesn't go back to her city of Samaria and say, I just met a man who fully explained to me the nature of salvation and this new gospel and the beginning of the kingdom of God. She goes back to her town and goes, I don't know, this guy seemed to know a lot of stuff about me. That's it. She takes what she got from it as best as she was able to get it, and she goes back and she tells the rest of the people in town, I met a prophet. He knew everything about me. I don't understand what he's saying, but it seems really important. And guess what? The whole town comes out and says, okay, teach us too. She didn't need to 100% understand what Jesus was doing. She just needed to accept it. Same is true for us. So in your life, you may find things that are confusing. God's calling you to do things. You're like, I don't even understand this. Do your human best with the divine that's been given to you, and God will make up the difference. Because that is what we are called to do. To be people who hear the word of God, who experience its presence, are shaped and changed by it. Not wholly and completely 100%, because we're human and we're broken and we're never going to be 100%. But we receive what God has given us with the knowledge that he won't give up. He will continue to reveal, and God has great plans for our lives. Amen.